Hi, this is Nick McCann with the Kept Faith Podcast. I don't know. It's different now. The intro is changing. The intro is changing because things are different now. I'm joined with Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh, well, we're changing the order that you're introducing people now. This is...
Maybe we shouldn't. I could start over.
No, it's fine. I mean,
no, it's go for far. It.
It's come this far. I guess I have to say Padres go because we're just changing things up now. We're reversing things.
Yeah. I don't know.
Padres go.
Things are different. We're also joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. That's all I got left in my voice now.
I'm just shaking up. Yeah. I don't know.
I think we're all a little giddy, right? It's been at least 2 days ago, right? And I still feel like I'm on cloud nine here. I don't want this feeling to ever go away.
I think, sorry, Nick, I don't mean to jump in there right away. But yeah, I think that Travis and I processed this victory a little differently. Obviously, Travis screamed a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
I think I was breathless would be probably the word.
Dallas, I've seen you have some big eyes before, but these were the biggest eyes you've ever made in your life. I actually have pictures of it. You would look at me and just your eyes looked like it'll pop out of your skull.
I couldn't believe it.
Dallas and Travis were at the game on Saturday night.
Yes.
And I was in San Francisco.
A real baseball town. Which,
yeah, just thinking about Bochy the whole time. just take me through the night, though. I want to know how it was to be there.
Dallas, I'll let you do most of the talking since no one wants to hear this voice right now. So take it away.
Oh, well, I'll just say Travis and I got down there pretty early because we didn't want to have to deal with any nonsense. It was already packed by the time we got there. At least the concourses were all packed. And, we got some food. And then while we're walking down, they say it's in a rain delay. So the game gets pushed by 30 minutes. And that was here's the thing. I also want to be very clear. I just know baseball really well. I've watched it since I was a little kid. I'm a humongous fan. I feel like a lot of us can watch a baseball game and guess what's going to happen next. And usually we're right. But I told Travis on the way into the game, we were walking into the game and I told Travis, and he can back me up on this. I said, it feels like this is a humongous setup for Musgrove to possibly blow this game. They're giving Peavy's coming. It's his favorite pitcher, all this nonsense. But I was like, he's going to give up a couple runs. But he's going to have to, the bats are going to have to come alive to save him. But it's not going to be a perfect game like in New York. And what happened? He gives up a couple runs and then the bats have to come alive to save him. I'm not saying I'm a soothsayer. I'm just saying I knew that was going to happen because it was just too much pressure. It was just this time around, New York was a different situation. This time around, I think it was just probably too much for him to just take all of it. And it's not like he pitched a bad game. He pitched a really good game. He walked a few more batters than you probably want. Made one wrong pitch to Freddie Freeman for the life of everyone in the stadium. No one could figure out why they didn't just walk Freddie Freeman in that scenario. It did not.
First base was open. And then Smith hit into the perfect double play ball right after that. But we digress.
Yeah. Yeah. Machado, and then Machado booted a play. There's just a lot of stuff that happened wrong in that short inning. But regardless, none of it matters. That's the beautiful part. None of it matters. I can tell you that the atmosphere in the park, we were very close. We got to be very close. We were fourth row up on a first base side. So we got to see all the guys come out. Every time a guy came out, the crowd went nuts. Peavy and Loretta were right next to us warming up. That was awesome to see. Loretta caught Peavy's first pitch. It was just an unbelievable experience. The energy was incredible. The only issue we had this guy that was sitting behind us who was a nut job and he kept screaming. He kept screaming, Nick, heckling, screaming.
Was he a Dodgers fan?
No, was apparently a Padres fan, but at no point did he root for the Padres. He was just screaming the worst heckles you've ever heard at the Dodgers.
Turner, you suck a lot. Oh, this guy's this guy's batting zero. I don't think he really understands how the playoff averages work. He's like, this guy's batting 191, easy out, kind of stuff.
And he was yelling, he kept calling Turner error boy. He's like, oh, it's Araboy. It's Araboy. Hit it to Turner. Hit it to Turner. Like, here's the thing, Nick. This is what it was. Yeah. You're sitting there, right? Hit it to Turner. Hey, hit it to Turner. Hit it to Turner. Hey, hit it to Turner. Like that nonstop kind of nonsense. And it's like, dude, you're in the fifth row. Like, you're sitting around a lot of season ticket holders or people who are just insanely rich. You got to tone it down. This isn't your spot. So that I felt like it was a jinx. I felt like it was bad vibes, bad mojo. And the crowd like died. Everyone was dead for like 6.5 innings. They were watching pitches go by. It was just like that bad stretch of Padres showed up. It was just miserable. I just kept turning to Travis. And I was like, they're going to LA tomorrow. This isn't happening tonight. Yeah. It's not going to happen tonight.
The fifth and the sixth were rough.
Rough. Yeah. Rough. And then like just in the seventh, man, they come alive.
What happens again? Like, so in the seventh, they show the seventh video?
Here's what's weird. Let me see if I got my innings correct. In the sixth,
take me through to the blink. Okay. I want
to
know about
we'll get to the blink.
Tell me all about the blink.
I'll do the timeline from when the game really started to get really weird and then relevant. So Anderson only pitched five. Am I correct? And in the sixth, Dave brought in somebody else, which was so weird.
Yes, that sounds right.
Because he was around 80 pitches and he had the Padres confused all night. Everybody was striking out. Everybody. No one was spared from him. But I forget who pitched the sixth, but it wasn't Anderson. And you could see little hints that we were going to start to maybe get to the bullpen. But it was one, mm-hmm. two, three again in the sixth, I believe.
Yeah, no, the sixth, it was some guy I'd never, Martin, some Martin, I can't remember his first name. Martin pitched and he, one, two, three, six. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Which was confusing because why did Anderson come out? But again, I digress.
So then the seventh happens.
Who comes in for the Padres? Wilson?
Yeah. Wilson comes in for the Padres.
And can't get an out. I'm watching this waiting in the long line for the guy's bathroom on the monitor, but it looked like him and Luke Nola
went sack fly.
Yeah. And then there's like some bunt or something and they kick it into the foul territory and don't know where the ball's at. I'm just like, is this really happening right now? We looked like the Bad News Bears, like just falling apart at the seams. And so the seventh, they score the one run. We get out of it because Hill comes in, I think, or something.
Tim Hill. East County, Hill comes in, 7-Eleven hero, Tim Hill,
and just cleans house real quick. And then in between innings, it starts. They play the Goose rally video between Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and then they have this like 30-second Goose, like produced Goose video where like the goose around
the flying.
Let me pop in on the Goose thing real quick.
Yeah.
So the Goose thing the whole night was just a little ridiculous.
People were in Goose costumes, like the whole thing.
Every like World Series run has something like this.
The rally monkey. This is the thing.
I'm glad that we've gotten it out of the way.
I think it's really funny. I do think it's a funny thing that the team embraced, like they brought the Goose little statuettes into the dugout. Like that stuff's very funny. But then like being at the stadium, it was like literally. They just latched onto it so hard and you're like, okay, I get it. But then I will say the Rally Goose video did make me laugh pretty hard because they just took a video of when the goose flew off the field in LA and they slowed it down.
Stuff around it. Yeah.
Yeah. They slowed it down. They put like gold skid marks behind it basically. It really did make me laugh. And just said Rally Goose. And that did make me laugh pretty hard. And I was like, all right, that's funny. And then Bobby Cressy, our boy Bobby Cressy, playing to a completely dead stadium. Like no one is happy anymore. And he gets on stage with just that wonderful smile. And he plays Take Me Out to the Ball Game, lightens the mood a little bit. The Rally Goose thing comes on. That lightened the mood even more. Everybody's kind of feeling a little bit better. We stood up. We sang the songs. And then the Padres just come alive. They put in Almonte, I think it was, Sandy Almonte. Another pitching change for whatever reason. They put in this guy. And he comes in, and I could, and I'm missing a pitcher. There was a pitcher between them.
Yeah, he, someone else started the inning.
Canley. I think it was Canley.
Yes. And then they brought him in after one of, to get out Cronenworth, maybe. They brought him in.
Yeah, it was like the, they brought in Almonte. And like Canley gives up the run, or gives up the hit to
Cronenworth. It was Cronenworth because it was so weird. And you're like, yeah, they can make a pitching change whenever they want. I'm like, yeah, they can. But why would you throw him a ball and then make the pitching change? And I guess come to find out, it was a missed sign and it was supposed to be a pickoff move, but he pitched it. So that's why Cronenworth got a ball. And then Dave Roberts made a pitching change. And I couldn't figure out, when you're in the stadium, you know, it's not always as clear because you don't have commentary. I'm like, did they intentionally walk Cronenworth and then make the pitch? I couldn't figure it out. But that's when they made the pitching change. That's right. And so Crone beat.
So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, like, Kim, like, here's the thing. Like, Kim gets on second, right? Hits that double. And his, like, he's just, like, going nuts, like, going insane. And then Nola, like, just hits that, like, weird kind of opposite line drive almost to Freeman. And Freeman, like, boots it, like, can't handle it. And then so Kim gets to third, and like Nola's on second, and then like, you know, I'm gonna miss up things a lot. I'm sorry, but at some point, like, you know, Soto gets a hit, and he like does that weird steal to second, and like the unchallenged weird, like steal, and even he was just confused, so he starts like looking around and like dancing to second.
Yeah, that's when you knew the Dodgers were totally shook, like they were out of the game. They didn't know what was going on.
The rain just start?
No.
Not yet. The rain, that's what's crazy. No rain.
Is it cinematic? When the rain starts?
So the stadium is like alive now, right? When Kim gets to second, the stadium's alive. Like there's no one sitting down. Everyone's up. Like this is the inning. And like they're going, like it's happening. It's all happening. And like every run that scores, Travis and I are just turning to each other, like screaming. High-fiving everybody, like, we can't believe that we're actually back in this game. All from the miscues of Dave Roberts, by the way. It's all his fault. It's so beautiful. So the Padres are back in the game, and they're scoring, you know. And then Cronenworth hits that. I tweeted this, but one of the things I've loved with Cronenworth this entire series is anytime he gets on base, a walk, a little bloop, whatever, anytime he gets himself to bat, like, he like literally is just ecstatic. Like he's like a little ball of energy, like a spark plug. And he's just like pumping his fist. And like, as soon as he hit the ball, he was like pumping his fist. Like he's just, I love Cronenworth so much. And that lit up the crowd. The crowd was going nuts, man. So anyway, the big inning, we've all seen the inning, the runs come in, Machado strikes out, which was insane to see Machado strike out on such a stage. It was a bummer, but it like did not even matter. You know, like it was just such a, like everybody played a part that night. It wasn't like, you know, like that's the story in the Mets game was the 7-8-9 hitters. This series, I feel like everybody's had a hand in every win. And so then we in the inning 5-3, everybody's nuts. Like nobody can even handle, because we know what's happening. Like Suarez is in next and then Hader, and they've been lights out. And so, like, as soon as the inning starts to come to an end, like, I think Myers was up to bat when it starts to kind of rain. It starts to kind of rain. You know, it's like a heavy drizzle. It starts to come down. And then, like, it starts to come down, like, pretty consistently before that on the field. And so the field's, like, wet. So then they have to delay the game a little bit just to get the
– Yeah, they're running around with, like, the bags of, you know, dirt to clear out the puddles and stuff. Yeah.
And so the game's delayed for a few minutes while they're doing this, and the rain starts to come down heavier. And like, then out of nowhere, they just, I guess because of the delay, they had to kill some time. So they start playing some music over the PA. And then Blink-182's All the Small Things comes on, man. And I shit you not, Nick, like I've been at a lot of sports games before where they'll play Sweet Caroline or a song that literally everybody who's ever been alive knows. But like All the Small Things is kind of a niche. It was a big song, no doubt. It was a big song, but it's like, it's not Sweet Caroline. It's not, you know, like Country Roads or something. Like it's, and so like they play the song and the entire stadium just organically starts singing along with every word of this song.
Yeah.
And I just started filming it because I'm like, holy shit, we are all singing this song together and the rain is coming down heavier. And people just have their arms up in the air, like embrace. It was literally like Shawshank. Like we had
Shawshank. I was gonna say Shawshank singing Blink. It was wild.
It was Shawshank, dude. We had climbed through 16 years of shit, and we finally got to this moment.
Off.
We are out. We washed off 16 years of shit, while all collectively 44,000 people singing All the Small Things. It was just. It was a moment. It was the most San Diego moment I've ever experienced in my life. The only way it could have been more San Diego is if like somebody was throwing out California burritos.
Yeah. Like if Carney Asada was like hitting us in the face at the same time. Yeah.
It was like, dude, I'm not kidding. It was like one of my favorite sports moments I've ever had in my entire life. Like it everybody felt that way. It was just like an organic, like nobody told you to on the Jumbotron. Nobody said sing, you know, everyone just did it. It was a whole stadium of people doing something together. And like then the next inning, it's still raining. Suarez goes out there. Holy shit, dude. Lights out.
Yeah.
Like they got to do a documentary on that guy. That guy is unbelievable. How he's not a major leaguer at the beginning of this year. That's wild.
Yeah. It's a crazy story. And then Hader just is lights out, you know. Hader.
I mean, I told Travis like while we were sitting there, I was like, I don't know how he turned it around like he did. Like, I have no, I mean, obviously he's been pitching for a long time at a very, very high quality level. So like he knows what he's doing and Niebla's is such a good pitching coach. I'm sure they figured it out, but like to go from where he was at when he joined the Padres to what he's been in this postseason, like yeah. What a freaking turnaround, dude. Like no one sat down, Nick, for the last two innings. No one sat down.
Yeah.
Everyone was up on their feet. And I don't know about you, Travis, but like, literally after the Blink 182 song, I was like, oh, we're winning.
I did too. No, I was gonna bring this up, and I've never felt that way, even with Hoffman. Never ever in my life have I gone into the eighth and ninth just like the game's over already. All my like butterflies, everything was gone. It was a strange feeling.
It was insane. And Nick, I'm telling you, like you could just see the Dodgers. Just they did, there was Wilting. Nothing left.
Yeah,
you could just see it. They weren't, I mean, they were flailing at pitches, it was just nothing left, dude. And the stadium was intense.
Yeah, that last pitch to Freeman says it all. Like, he is the most disciplined, like, literally perfect baseball player. Even watching, because he was so close to us, his mannerisms, everything about them, he's annoyingly good, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you want to be him, but you also want to hate him.
My heckle to Freeman.
He looked like a fool at the end of the game. A complete idiot swinging at that pitch in the dirt.
But it was amazing. Like, it was so, the energy in the stadium was like, it was almost like 44,000 people telling him to swing the bat. Yeah. You know, like that. Oh, it was like, you know what I mean? Like you had that. Yeah. There's such momentum and energy that he had no choice, I think, just to swing. He had to swing. It was like Will Myers swung on a ball four and like everyone was mad. And I'm like, dude, the stadium was going nuts. Like there's so much adrenaline running through you. You know, if that ball even looks like it's close, you have to swing the bat. You know, it's like, you don't even have a choice. It was just intense. Like those last couple of innings
were
unbelievable.
It was intense to watch. I mean, I was like,
it was unbelievable. And like everybody was there, you know, everybody was watching, like, you know, like we all felt the same thing. Like I've never gotten so many texts in my life about a baseball game. And the crazy thing was like reception was terrible there because I'm sure everybody was on their phones. Like the internet was dying the whole time. So like I couldn't reply to anybody really or post any videos because they wouldn't really post. It was insane. But like then the team was out on the field for the longest time. Everybody stayed in the stadium. I mean, Travis and I were there for at least 30 minutes after the game, like just standing there basking in the moment. Like, I mean, everybody was just there. Like, I would say out of the 44,000 people that were there, 30,000 stayed until, and like, I don't know how long they stayed. We left like 30 minutes after and people were still there.
Yeah.
Watching Blake Snell run the bases with the plastic goose. It was amazing.
Yeah. Blake Snell running the bases with the goose. Dude, it's just so good, dude.
Our Dodgers fans like slowly leaving. And what's that scene? Like the Dodgers fans in the stadium, like what were they? What did you guys see on their faces after they knew it was over?
There wasn't many Dodger fans. There was one guy right behind us, and I was watching him after. He was just like
saying
blank. Yeah. It was the Padres should be commended like no one else. The geofencing or whatever they did was brilliant because it was 98% Padres fans. There was little patches of Dodger fans, but never once was there a loud Dodger chant or anything that even it was a home game and amazing. You knew you were in San Diego, which is not always the case at all.
It's almost never the case. Yeah, it was.
That's amazing.
And I heard it was like that on Friday too, that they did the same, you know, they had the same kind of turnout. And it was amazing. And you know what? I will say this, like any Dodger fan that I saw, like they weren't assholes. Like at least we're not around where we were, you know, like even during the game, there was one guy who was sitting in front of like two rows in front of us. He was like the lone Dodger fan
with a
like,
Turner shirt.
I could see with a Justin Turner jersey, but like, he likes, you know, when they scored the runs, he stood up and he clapped and turned around and clapped everybody, you know, but he was fine about like, he wasn't a dick about it. And like, when we were leaving, like, I didn't see anybody being a dick to Dodger fans. Like, I didn't see Dodger fans being dicks to anybody. I think everybody was just so damn happy. Like, there wasn't time to like fight or anything or get, you know, basically we didn't act like Dodger fans is what I'm trying to say. Like if Dodger fans had won that game in Chavez Ravine, there'd be a couple dead Padres fans in the parking lot.
Ugly.
When I was up in San Francisco and wearing my like Padres hoodie the whole time, like the day of, and then the day after and at night, and they like all the Giants fans were like, "You guys did good. Thanks for doing that." It was like very supportive. Like, they're like, "Good job, you guys beat them down." Because I mean, you know, the Dodgers are a huge problem for everybody else in the division, and I don't know, it just feels different now that it feels obviously it is possible to beat them. You know, well,
and the thing that
wasn't always like that.
The thing that like I look at this, you know, like season and like we've talked about it on this podcast so many times, like this Padres season has been the weirdest Padres season in recent memory. There's been so many problems and so many issues, and it's like, and you witness the series with the Mets, and you witness the series with the Dodgers, and you think to yourself, like, yeah, this is what we should have been doing all year. Like all year, this should have been the team, like scoring runs, winning games, you know, timely hitting, great pitching. That was what we all signed up for. And because of whatever reason, this or that, you know, it didn't happen. We had injury problems. Hosmer, I mean, that was the thing everybody kept saying. Travis and I kept saying to each other, like, if Hosmer is in that series, we don't win that series. Like, it's just not possible. Like, Myers was great defensively. And, you know, his bat wasn't so lively during that series, but like didn't matter. Like I'll take that leadership, like him, you know, I'll just 100%. Take that leadership over whatever Hosmer apparently brought to the table. And I don't mean to like go back and back on Hosmer, but it is kind of staggering to be like, I don't think we would have won that or the Mets series had we had to play Hosmer at first base. So like, that was like a crazy thing to look at, but it's like, this is the team that we should have had this whole time. And I mean, I have a lot to say about the whole national media thing, the reactions to this, but like it's so weird to look at the Padres from the national media perspective and have the rhetoric, or I guess maybe perspective, I don't know, to be like, how is this even possible? Well, they have
like two of the baseball greatest, before?
Yeah, I know.
But it's also, they have two of the greatest baseball players of the last 10 years on their team. So that's how it's possible. Like, you know, and Soto has been relatively quiet, but it's like, you don't have Soto, Machado, great players like Myers and Cronenworth, Kim, who's been great. You know, you don't get Hader, Suarez, like our pitching, like that's all, they're all great. They're all great baseball players. So it's like to think that, this is just so, you know, how on earth, it's like they're treating
a problem with the system.
They're treating like 89 wins from a team who dealt with all of the things that the Padres dealt with is somehow an impossible thing. When the Dodgers won 111 wins, it's like, yeah, it's 20 more wins. And guess what? Like the Dodgers didn't face half of the problems that the Padres faced during the year. So like, that's how those things happen. It's such a silly thing. And I can't understand how they're looking at this. Like we're such underdogs. No, we have like one definite Hall of Famer on the team and two possible Hall of Famers on the team. It's like, that's how this shit happens. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so silly to me. But I don't know if I'll go to another game. I probably will not go to a Phillies game unless there's like a game seven. And I probably won't be able to make it to a World Series game if we happen to go to the World Series. But I don't even need it. I told Travis, is like, I could give two shits if we win the World Series. Like,
where does this rank for you as far as a live sporting event? Both of you, is like, is this the best thing you've ever seen live?
This definitely is number one for me. I was at.
I would totally understand that. Yeah, I mean, geez, I can't even think of something comparable to it.
Actually, the game in '98, I was at the playoff game that we wanted to clinch so bad. They brought Brown in the ninth to close it out, and he gave up a home run, a two run home run, and we lost that game. That was like, I remember that being really exciting. Then the next year, when Kevin Brown came back to San Diego as a Dodger, I went to that game and we lit him up and pushed him out like the third inning. That was the second greatest game I'd ever been to. The stadium was not like it was at Petco, but it was rocking to like hate on Brown. Yeah. But last night was, or what, Saturday night was hands down the greatest. Yes, by far.
They've been so dominant for so long, and like seemed it just seemed like impossible to be able to beat them in a series. I really didn't think my faith was low on this one, but that's what makes it so surreal.
I didn't give us a chance at all.
They shouldn't. I mean, it's insane that they pulled it off.
The Dodgers. The Dodgers are really good. They're really good. They put together a really good team.
They're a well-run organization with good talent scouting.
The funniest part about it, though, Nick, is like it's the thing that he gets completely, you know, maligned for over and over again, and it happened again. Dave Roberts overmanaging the bullpen. Like every time that's what he does wrong. He can't figure it out. And like he made so many pitching changes for completely no reason.
No reason. He's watching a different game.
Like I imagine analytically, maybe he did it for that reason. But like, dude, like there was Tyler Anderson, they could have let him pitch another two innings.
Yeah, wait till he gets in trouble.
Yeah, like it was just so weird to bring him out. Unless something happened. I don't know if his arm got hurt or something, but like he was killing the Padres. And it's like, so it's just such a weird move. The fact that he keeps his job makes sense, but
they've already announced he's coming back, right?
Oh, really? Yeah. They did.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, how does he keep his job after this?
I don't know. You know, I've asked a few Dodgers fans, friends, like where they're at with this, and a lot of them seem to not really know if he made those decisions in the bullpen or if he should be blamed for those. There seems to be like a parsing out of who to blame. Either it's like generated by the front office when he should take pitchers out. I don't know.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me is he's not the one actually making these calls.
He's been the manager for seven seasons. He's had the most talent of anybody over those 7 years, right? I don't know who else would have look at some of his rosters that he's had. It's like, it's off the charts what he's been able to work with, and he hasn't been able to really.
This is definitely a homer thing to say, but like you look at somebody who has the talent that Dave Roberts has had on a team, like a Bruce Bochy, and then Bruce Bochy gets those guys to win, even when he didn't have talent. Like he had less talented teams in San Francisco. And he got those teams to the World Series, and he had more talented teams in San Diego. And he got those teams either deep, deep into the playoffs or to the World Series when they were all together. Even when he had Klesko and Nevin, he was coaching them to 500 at least. You know, I mean, like there are good managers and there are managers who, you know, I don't think Dave Roberts is a bad manager. Like, I'm not even saying that. I don't think he's a bad manager. I think he has proven himself to overthink big situations, and that will, you know, they got a Mickey Mouse championship. That's what they got. And I'll be on the record as saying if the Padres won that championship, I'd also consider it a legitimate World Series. So I mean,
I'd probably have to, but it's not,
you know, so it's like, whatever, like, but that's what they got. They got a manager who was able to manage 60 games.
It's because he got to do without fans there. That's the only reason they won. He gets rattled by the crowd, I guess.
That's a good point. He might.
So, I mean, what are your expectations for the NLCS that we are in with the Phillies? I mean, what do you think? I think we got a shot in this.
I will say it worries me because it's the one team that matches up with us well.
You think? Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
look, the Mets were supposed to kill us. The Dodgers were supposed to kill us, and we destroyed them. And now there's like the Phillies, who are pretty much kind of like, I think we're more talented than them top to bottom, but like, and so that worries me. Anytime we play a team that we're supposed to beat, it usually doesn't work out, right?
I'm way too confident. I'm scared of my confidence right now.
I think about the Reggie Miller, you know, that 30 for 30 with Reggie Miller winning time, where at the end of all that against, it's like Reggie Miller versus the Knicks. And at the very end of the movie, he's all, oh yeah, in the next round, we faced Shaq's Orlando, you know, like we could totally just lose in the next round and not have this huge battle mean anything. But
I mean, like to me, I mean, I think it's going to be a fun series. I'm always a humongous fan of teams that haven't been good for a long time, being good and being relevant. Like, I love that the Padres are there. I would, even if I wasn't a Padres fan, like my dad is excited for the Padres to be there. I love that the Phillies are there. I love that Cleveland is doing what they're doing. And, you know, like, it makes me happy to see small market teams that haven't, you know, teams that have historically been really, really great teams like Cleveland or Philadelphia, to finally make it back in, like, that just makes me excited. I wish the Mariners and Blue Jays both, you know, could have been involved still too, but like, it's just fun, man. It's fun. I think it's going to, like, I hate Bryce Harper, so that's going to be fun to see like what happens there. You know, the Phillies just, they have a cool team, and I'm in, like, I'm so excited to see the series. Great. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I have no, my prediction as a Padre fan is that, you know, I think it goes to six games.
And then we win.
Yeah, we win in six. I think we win in six.
Yeah, I think especially, and not to get too like spiritual or whatever with this, but the way things are working out, and I know I don't want this to come across like I don't like Tatis, but I really want, because I always imagined once he was a part of this team that like, we'll win a World Series now that Tatis is here. I don't know why. You know, Machado and Tatis, this is the magic duo that's going to do it all. But it feels right. It feels like the right thing to happen for us to win our first World Series without Tatis. And I don't know why I feel that way, but I feel like everything's lining up for that to happen. And I think it's the right thing. So like the trajectory of this team changes when we're not waiting for like a magical player, but we have like a winning culture. And I think Machado is such a part of that. And I don't know, it feels right to be back against the Yankees and undo the last time we were there and like finally get it. It feels more probable than any time in Padres history.
Travis and I were talking about this while we were running through the streets of downtown, screaming at people and horns honking. And it was a big old organic parade happening in downtown San Diego. We were talking about it. Like, it's like, you're right. Like the Tatis thing, I want them to win it without Tatis, because I think that's the biggest lesson that Tatis could learn. I think like, you've been trying to teach the kid how much he's a part of a team. It's not about him. And like, I think this is the biggest way you do that, is that you show him, we don't fucking need you. Like, we don't need you. They got to the National League Championship Series without who was supposed to be our best player on the team. And I think that's important for him to see. I think that's important for him to feel. And like, hopefully he takes that to heart and uses it as a way to come back and be much more of a team player. And I totally agree with you, Travis, like doing it this way, Tatis, is, it's a winning culture instead of a winning player and the Padres, you know. And even though it is, Machado has been carrying the team for quite some time, you know, he gets it. Like he gets the team mentality. And so I hope this teaches Tatis something and he comes back stronger and more confident than before.
I think this is already, I hope that this is already pretty impactful on him, that like he sees that they can beat the Dodgers without him. I think I want to see how he reacts to it before. I mean, a lot of people want to trade him and try to see what we could get for him. So he's not even a part of this anymore, but I think I'd like to see his reaction to see how he, if there is a rebound, if there is a redemption season.
Yeah, I don't think you need to trade him. I think if you traded him, you'd have, I mean, if you're going to trade him, you'd have to get.
You wouldn't get value for you. I don't think you would get the right value for him right now.
I don't think you would. I don't think you would. And that was the only, that'd be the only way I'd ever say, okay, is if we got something insane in return. But like, but there's no, like, why would you do it? There's no, like, you're looking at this team right now, there isn't a hole. I mean, first base is kind of a weird position right now, but like Myers is doing great defensively there. And if his bat is, you know, his bat, then like that's fine. Like, I don't see a glaring hole in the team. And, you know, Trent Grisham, the worst center fielder in baseball, continues to prove me wrong. And I implore you, Trent, to just let you know you can hear this, that you suck, you're terrible. And I think they should bench you.
Keep it up.
Again. Yeah, keep it up and keep it up, please. Keep proving me wrong.
I like the idea of like Bob Melvin just talking to Tatis throughout this process, and maybe he's planting seeds and kind of, this could be a project for him to really shine, I think, for Bob Melvin. Not that he needs to do more. I mean, he's already beat the Dodgers, but.
Well, I think,
I don't know.
I was thinking about this.
Though. I don't know.
People bring Bob Melvin a lot. And obviously, this is what happens when you get a good experienced manager.
Yeah,
in the dugout is that you get further and your team comes together. Like that's what you get. That's what we all wanted. But I also think this is like a good test for Melvin, because like if you look at his track record as a manager, like he's managed a lot of like young guys and like kind of made them, not made them, but he's coached them from being these young irrelevant A's, and now most of them are on teams or get traded away and they become more relevant and important and better. But and it's like, it's now, so now he came to a team where it's like, we have some young guys, but it's really about an established team coming together and winning it all. So it's like, I think it's like a big learning, you know, a lesson for him and a way for him to grow and learn as a manager. And I think we're seeing that in real time with like making a lot of decisions and then kind of, you know, solidifying a lineup for the playoffs and solidifying a bullpen. Like he's also, I think, doing things that he hasn't had to do before. It's just really cool to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, he's been great. And yeah, I don't know, guys. I don't know what else there's to talk about. I mean, it's just, this is the most amazing time in our Padre fandom, I think. I don't know what.
I mean,
it's just insane.
Since 98, we haven't.
Yeah, since 98.
Since 98, we haven't been even when we were in the playoffs in 06 and 07 or whatever it was. And like it was, or 05 and 06. And it was like, why are the Padres in the playoffs? Like, you know, I forget the years that we were in, but like, it was such a mess. It was so gross and we didn't even deserve to be there.
Yeah. And
so it's like, now it's just real. It's real, you know?
Yeah.
And one thing we really have to look forward to is Soto is about to go on a tear like we have not seen yet as a Padre. I saw a little clip they had on MLB Network the other night of him progressing through the playoffs. And he's about to, I'm going to predict at least 3 home runs in this next series. If we go 6 games, he at least has 3 home runs.
I'm not, and I can't
wait
for it.
I just can't wait for this next series. It's going to be amazing.
I'm not giving up on Josh Bell either.
No.
I like Josh
Bell. I like Bell too. I think Bell, I like Bell a lot. And
I feel
for
really
whatever reason,
deep right now. Like we got a deep team. We got a lot of layers. Yeah. Drury hasn't even come alive yet. Like we could be getting a strike right now.
Couple,
that could get dangerous. Yeah, close.
Drury
close
had
strikes.
A couple great, great hits in that last game, and they just got robbed. So I think I think we're in the right mode.
I feel
right
like
now
we're in the right. It feels like I feel confident that we can beat the Phillies, and I don't know. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
No. I mean. They're on a tear too. They're that's the thing that I see. They're in an exact similar position where it's like they were struggling.
Yes,
a couple of months. Just
new
like
manager, a whole thing. Yeah.
All of a sudden, they just gelled in the playoffs and they're coming together. It's so we are. It's like two bowling balls just coming into each other right now, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be exciting. Yeah, we'll try to maybe talk some maybe after this next series. There's so many series, you know, it's just.
Well, that's the problem with the playoffs format, Nick, is that, you know, there's just too many games. And it's like, it's, you know, like, I don't understand why we just couldn't let the Mets and the Dodgers and the Braves play like a three-way playoff game against each other, you know, and that would be the one that decided it. I just don't understand it.
I mean, why even have playoffs? If you have the best record, you just win the World Series. That's how it should work.
Like, I don't even understand why you would have a team. Like, why would you have a team in San Diego to begin with? Like, you know, like that doesn't make any sense.
There's some good ones. I mean, that's a whole other podcast. We should just have the reaction to what's wrong. Unbelievable. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk. Maybe that's a good offseason. We'll read the tweets. We'll read the receipts.
I'm writing something national... about it.
Okay, cool.
I'm writing something about it.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, is that going to be this week?
I'll get it out this week for sure.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast. We'll see you later on down the road towards our first championship.
And I'll see you, baby. Go Padres.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go, Padres.
Let's fucking go.
Let's go, San Diego.
All the small things.